I was going to say I think it'll be a short sermon today, but a lot of times when I say it's going to be a long sermon, it ends up being short. When I say it's going to be short, it ends up being long. So I'll just use the words of my wife right now and say, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. There you go. I don't know. All right. Today's sermon is about being citizens of heaven. Being citizens of heaven. And I want you to think about this right now. If we are saved and we are citizens of heaven, a lot of times we think about how heaven is going to be for us and things like that. But have you thought about how you are going to behave in heaven? And if we are citizens of heaven, that means we don't belong here. We belong in heaven, right? And so if we're citizens of heaven thinking about how we're going to behave there, shouldn't we be behaving like that now? Shouldn't we be walking in our lives as citizens of heaven, going through our lives like we don't belong here, like we belong in heaven? This is what Paul is going to try to get through to the Philippian church in this passage this morning. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer before we open up God's word. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for our wonderful church here, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to work in our lives and help to mold us into who you want us to be, Lord. And help us to remember that we are citizens of heaven, that we belong with you in heaven as saved people. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to act like that in our daily lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So if you would, go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 to 21. And don't mind if you can barely read it up there right now, because we're going to go through those verses again. So, but let's go ahead and read this whole passage before we break it down. It says, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." What an awesome passage there. I don't know if you've noticed, but the past few weeks we went through, you know, justification in part of this passage, then sanctification in part of this passage. Now right at the end of this passage, he mentions glorification, getting our glorified bodies. That's one day when our bodies are resurrected and changed to be like Christ. It's such an awesome thing. But while we are here, we are to be following godly examples and behaving as though we are citizens of heaven. And so the first thing that he talks about in this passage is following examples, right? Following examples. You can follow good examples, you can follow bad examples, right? There's both of those in our lives. The good examples, right, are those who walk towards the Lord. This is the first group of people that Paul mentions here. Those who walk towards the Lord. Philippians 3:17, I'll read this again. It says, "Brethren, join in following my example," talking about himself, "and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern." So he says, so first he gives himself as an example for people to follow. Now understand, this is not prideful for Paul to say. Paul was an apostle, and so he can give himself as an example for this. Also, he says, and note those who so walk. So he's saying, okay, follow me and also follow people that are like me, right? Look to those people as examples. He says, as you have us for a pattern. And so we see these examples in the Bible, right? The biggest example would be Jesus Christ, right? That's the first and foremost example of how we should live our life. If you remember back in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, Paul gives Jesus as an example of humility, right? And so we can look to Christ as an example. Also, Paul talks about himself. And so Paul is an example of how we should live our lives. Paul also gives multiple other examples, like Timothy, Epaphroditus. We also have other examples in the Bible. We have the other apostles. We have, you know, Peter. We also have James and Jude, the brothers of Jesus. We have men in the Bible that wrote things down for us to follow, and we should be following these biblical examples of people and how to live our lives as Christians. One of my favorites is James, right? James, they called him Camel Knees. That was his nickname, right? His knees were like leather. Why were his knees like leather? Because he was always on his knees praying. Like, what a good example for us, right? Now, I don't think my knees, you know, are ever going to be like that. I probably there's always room to improve, right? But we have men like that to look towards. We also have, you know, when Paul says, and note those who so walk, right? He's not just talking about other biblical examples there. These, you know, when he's talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus, right? Especially Epaphroditus, that was an example within the Philippian church there. And so we have godly examples of people to follow in our church. And I'm not going to get into that whole sermon again because we talked about that already. But we do have these examples to follow. These are people that are leading towards the Lord. That is the key thing there. If someone is walking towards the Lord, that's who we should follow, right? We should be able to note them. We should be able to spot them in a crowd and follow after them, be like those people. It's very important to have physical examples of godliness in our lives. You know, we can look at things in the Bible, but it's also, you know, not everybody learns just by reading, right? Sometimes you need to see what that looks like in our daily lives. And so examples in our church are very important. But there's also people today that are bad examples, right? These are people who walk away from the Lord, who are actively walking away from God. Philippians 3:18, it says, so remember, the previous thing is, and note those who so walk, talking about people that walk like Paul there in the first verse. But in this next verse, it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Wow. And so Paul is saddened. He's saddened by these people that are walking away, and he said, he's of whom I have told you often. Now, we don't have a lot of this in the book of Philippians, so we have to, excuse me, assume that Paul, this was when Paul was speaking to them in person. But it's very easy to see, given by some of the other context of this book, that this was mainly the Judaizers. Again, this is the people that are focused on the fleshly things. There's three real things for this, two examples of this. We have false teachers within churches, right? Those are people that claim to be following God but are actively leading people away from God. We see a lot of this in the world today. It's really incredible. I had a hard time even writing the sermon because I was going to insert certain people in here, and I just got like, you know how it is when you go onto YouTube and you start looking at clips, it's literally takes your whole day. I know a couple of people in here that do that. So anyway, I was trying to write my sermon, and I looked up false teachers, right, on YouTube, and just I spent hours just watching videos of people pointing out false teachers. And you know, the common thing between all of them is usually they're very charismatic, right? Their focus is not on Jesus. It is more about you and the pleasures of the flesh. It's about things that will appease your flesh, right? Money, lust, many things like that. You know, I'm going to say one out loud right now, but I'll probably get this video taken down because he'll go after me. Joel Osteen, right? Joel Osteen wrote a book, Live Your Best Life Now. I saw a commentator talk about that one time. He said, if you live your best life now, you'll be living your worst life later, right? Think about when we die. You don't want this to be your best life. If you're a Christian, you want your best life to be in heaven. But these false teachers, they are focused on your life right now. They're focused on the pleasures of the world. That leads to the next group. So it's not just people who claim to be Christians, but it's also worldly men. Worldly men, and when I say men, I mean people. It's worldly people that are leading in our country, leading in the world. These are people that you know, might be doing some pretty awesome things, but they're not leading us towards God. We have to be careful about who we lift up, who we idolize, so to speak. You know, we shouldn't be idolizing anyone, but get what I'm saying there. You have to be careful about celebrities. You have to be careful about politicians. All of this stuff, right? They're not necessarily Christian, right? They might be pushing a whole bunch of things that we might think are good. You know, the self-help aisle in libraries is enough to tell you that there's a bunch of people that will have advice for you that isn't Christian advice. The most important thing to understand about these people that Paul is talking about, these false teachers and worldly men, is that they are lost and they are destined for hell. He says here that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I tell you, if you are the enemy of the cross of Christ, you are going to hell. That's, you're not a saved person. These are people that we should not be looking up to. There's a lot of them in the world today. But if you're not saved, you should be looking towards people that are saved, that are going to lead you to God. Don't follow people that are going to lead you down a bad road. This leads me to the next point here. Following the pattern of bad people leads to bad things. Bad people, that's common sense, right? If you are following after someone, it's like what every parent tells their child, well, if so-and-so jumped off a cliff, would you do it too, right? You don't follow people down a bad road when you know that that is wrong. Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. So we should not be following people like this. This is the opposite of a godly person. There's a saying, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right? That's, if you do bad things in life, the end is bad things, right? If people that are focused on worldly things, ultimately, their end is destruction. We have to put our faith in Jesus Christ, and that's it. It says that there's an interesting point here. This kind of puzzled me a little bit when I first read it. It says, whose God is their belly? Whose God is their belly? This is actually a saying from that time. It's very interesting. It's actually referenced in a couple of places in the Bible. First of all, Romans 16, verse 18. It says, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. So, whose God is their belly? What does that mean, right? It means that these are people are focused on their own fleshly needs, right? And so that's that to make your God the what you are to make your focus in life your own fleshly needs. That's what it means by their God is their belly. That's the highest thing, is the pleasures of the flesh to them. The appetites of the flesh. This is all sorts of sin. So these are people that are all concerned with, remember, these are like false teachers here that are completely concerned with the flesh, right? They might be telling you what to do and all of this stuff, but in their own lives, they're focused on the flesh. They're focused on taking from you, that way they can build themselves up. Then it says here, just to emphasize this point even more, not only are they living bad lives, right? Not only are they focused on the flesh, but they glory in it. It says, whose glory is in their shame. So the things that should be considered shameful, these people take glory in it. This immediately brought to my mind some of the televangelists, right, that famously brag to their church that donate money to me so that I can get a new private jet. They're not hiding what they want. They said God wants them to have a new private jet. And one of these guys already had a perfectly good private jet. He wanted a second one. They don't even hide the shameful things. They don't even hide the lusts of their flesh. They glory in it. They want you. They want people to give to that. Again, you know, this is like what I said about Joel Osteen's book before. You know, live your best life now. Well, I'll tell you, if I heard John MacArthur say this. If you take that advice, if you're lost, you should take that advice, right? Because if you're a lost person and you're not going to heaven, this will be your best life. I'm paraphrasing what John MacArthur said, but it was something like that. As believers, we should be focused on heaven. We're citizens of heaven, not this earth. But again, not just about false teachers here. It's amazing today the amount of glory in shame, the glory in shameful things in our world today. What's the whole big movement today? Right? The pride movement, the LGBTQ, whatever alphabet stuff comes after that. But the whole thing is they have these pride parades, and they're disgusting and shameful. I mean, that is what it is, but they take pride in it. They glory in the shame. And you know, the world wants to tell you that this is all okay and that this is good. And things that used to be taboo shouldn't be taboo anymore, that they should be celebrated now. It's not even just that stuff. It's divorce, right? That's, you know, California, you know, the no-fault divorce thing that happened a while ago. You know, divorces skyrocketed after that because it took the taboo away from the divorce. You know, I don't care, you know, if you have gotten a divorce in the past, but you should understand, like, it's not something to be celebrated. It's not a happy thing. It's a very sad thing. Same thing with abortion, right? They tried this with abortion recently. That they were, you know, people were posting on Instagram their abortion cakes. Like, all dressed up like a birthday cake. They were celebrating these things. These people who do these things, they're not saved. These are opposite to the cross of Christ. Then it says, and it goes one step further just to explain even more, who set their mind on earthly things. And it's interesting here that it says, who set their mind. These aren't just people that are convinced of something. They have chosen this. They set their mind on this, on earthly things. They chose to focus on the things of the world and not godly things. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." So those who set their mind on the things of the earth, set their mind on earthly things, are literally doing the opposite of what God commands them to do. We, as citizens of heaven, need to be doing what it says here in Colossians and set our minds on things above, not on things of the earth. Paul was focused on the upward call of God. We should be too. The people that Paul is talking about in this part of the passage in Philippians are, again, the opposite of this. They are focused on earthly things. I want to go back to the first part of this verse, because Paul says really the end at the beginning of this verse, right? All of these things that Paul describes, they only lead one place, to destruction. It says, whose end is destruction. They and those that follow them down this road are headed for hell. We should weep for them, as Paul did. We should pray for them that they would come to know the truth and repent of their sin. But do those things, but do not follow them. Now, that's the negative side. But following the pattern of good people leads to good things. And by good, you know, I understand that what I mean is people that are in Christ, the people that are leading towards God. Because remember, our own righteousness is as filthy rags. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." So if we follow the example of Paul, right, and those like him, as he states at the beginning of this passage, the result is we will get saved and our citizenship will be in heaven. That's such an awesome thing. And so the result of listening to good advice, right, advice that leads you to God, is salvation. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. The result of that, the result of being saved, is citizenship in heaven. That's such an awesome thing. Again, you know, we're like, if we're saved, we're supposed to be like the Israelites when they were, before they had the promised land, right? They were sojourners. They were wandering around. But their home was in the promised land. Well, as Christians, we're just passing through this life. Our home is in heaven, right? We're in the world, we're not of the world. It means if you're saved, the world no longer has hold over you. Such an awesome thing. 1 Peter 1:3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Because of our salvation in Jesus Christ, we're citizens of heaven. We have an inheritance in heaven waiting for us. We need to be living our lives looking forward to that inheritance. At the very end of this passage, Paul talks about the most awesome part about all of this. I mean, especially for those of us that are a little bit heavier, right? Is this glorified body that we're going to get. He says in verse 21, he says, "Who will transform our lowly body." In some, it says vile, right? Our lowly body. "That it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." So the body that we're going to get someday is not this same one that we have right now. We're going to be changed to be conformed to Christ. You know, we think about when we're saved, our soul is renewed. When we're sanctified, right, through that process of our life, that is the renewing of our minds. When we die, you know, that part of us goes to heaven. Our body stays in the ground when we die. We have to wait for the resurrection to get our glorified body. But at that point, we will be completely conformed to Christ at the very end of all things. Such an awesome thing. Body, mind, and soul. All of it. 1 Corinthians 15:51-53 says, Paul actually expounds on this idea of getting the glorified body here. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." When Paul says sleep, he's talking about death. Okay, he's not talking about soul sleeping. That's a topic for another day. He says, "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You see, our bodies, as they are right now, cannot exist in heaven. Because that's the last thing that is conformed to Christ. Our flesh is the worst part of us, right? But at the end, we will have this glorified body that we can exist wholly, not like we are, but like he is, for eternity. It's such an awesome thing. So I'll close with this. We, as Christians, as saved people, whose citizenship is in heaven, we need to live like we don't belong here. We need to live our lives like we don't belong here. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." As sojourners and pilgrims, that's sojourners, that's wanderers, right? We are just passing through this life. And so if you think, again, about how you are going to behave once you are in heaven, all of the things that you will do in heaven, that's how we should be behaving here. Think about the things that you would do when you were standing in the presence of Christ. And start doing those things in your life right now. You say, oh, well, in heaven, yeah, I'm going to worship all the time. Well, amen. You're going to worship all the time in heaven? You should be worshiping all the time now, right? Hey, yeah, I'm going to talk to Jesus forever while I'm in heaven. Well, amen. You should be talking to Jesus all the time now, right? I'm going to put off sinful things when I'm in heaven. There's not going to be any more sin in heaven. Well, you should try your best to not be sinful now, right? None of us are perfect. We still have that flesh. But we should be trying to behave as that now. All of those things that you think that you will do later, start doing them now. If you think you're going to be really close to Jesus in heaven, get close to him now. The closer you are to Jesus in this life, the closer you will be to him in heaven. All of those things. Live like you don't belong here. You don't belong to the world. Live like you don't belong in the world. We're here for now. But the much greater part of our life, our eternal life, is going to be in heaven with Jesus. So this is only temporary, focused on what is permanent. With that, we'll have a song of invitation as the pianist's song later comes. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, start the process. Start, you know, that's the first step. You know, we talked about justification, sanctification, and glorification, right? The very first thing you need to do is accept Jesus Christ. That's that justification part. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I pray that you would repent of your sins and you would ask Jesus to save you and believe in him. Do that and you will spend eternity with him in heaven. Do that this morning. Look to examples here in this church. Don't look to outside examples, ones that are going to lead you to destruction. Look to godly examples. Look to people that are going to lead you towards the Lord. Follow their example. Pray, repent, and believe in Jesus this morning.